This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Yes, no need for a do-over on that today. I love it. But some days we do need a little do-over, do we not? God, I need a little encouragement as I get out of bed. It's a little quiet today. Lord, I'm feeling a little down today. So it's okay for do-overs. We need those every now and then. But you guys did a great job today. I appreciate that. In Matthew chapter 24, we'll be at the end of that. Verse 29. Now, there's all kinds of great stuff to read in 24, but I'm just going to pick it up at verse 29 through 35 for right now. And it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Speaking of moon giving its light, anyone see that full moon the last couple nights? What an amazing sight that was. But this tells us that there will be a point in time where the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Verse 30 says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all of the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now, going on through verse 35, it says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. And I love this. By the way, if you're not in Wednesday night Bible study, try and make time to come to that. Eric talked on some parables last week and taught on that, and it was great. I love the parables and breaking those down to understand what they mean. But it says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near. At the doors, it says. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And I thought, he's telling us here, the parable with the fig tree. I mean, when we look outside, do we not see leaves falling? It was hilarious that a couple weeks ago, I said, man, that tree is full of leaves up there in the front yard. When will they fall? Sat out there the next week and said, huh, there isn't a leaf left up in that tree. Okay, it just happens. You know that what's coming about. It's turning into fall. The temperature will start cooling down. We have, as we pull out on the 10th Street from our house, these beautiful three trees, and they're always, every year, they turn this bright red. And I love that. And I took a picture several years ago. I thought, that is just a beautiful sight. And then the storms came. Not recently, this was years ago. And it knocked down part of the tree. They still are beautiful red when the leaves turn, but they're just not as strong as they once were. And they're not quite as beautiful because they were beautifully shaped before. Now it's just kind of like a bad haircut on it, you know? No comments about bad haircuts with me. But it just doesn't look the same. But it still has beauty and it still signifies the same thing when those leaves turn red and they start to fall. And Jesus is telling them, when these things come to pass, you know that it is getting near. It says, all these things, heaven and earth, will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So then he goes on in verse 36. He says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven. Church, that's important to notice that. We think, oh, anybody in heaven knows everything. No, the angels know everything. No, he says, not even the angels of heaven know the day or the hour. But my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in one field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this. Everybody listen up, because it says, but know this. We better pay attention. That if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And as we read this, and he talks about the days of Noah and what they were doing, they're not saying there's anything wrong with eating and marrying and being and getting married and doing those things and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem was, when they did these things, they weren't paying attention. They were going through their day-to-day lives, giving no attention to God or the coming judgment that was about to happen. And I've got to ask, how many of us are doing the same thing? Hey, I'm just going through day-to-day. I know God's going to return someday, but it's not going to be in my time. It's been 2,000 years already since Jesus came. Okay, and he hadn't come back, so I'm just going to roll the dice. He didn't come into my time. So I'll just go about my day-to-day life and pay no attention to these things. Well, that's what happened to the people back in the days when Noah built his ark. And it said they did not know till Noah entered the ark. And I thought, he's given us warning. It says, pay attention here. Know this. He's given us a warning. Know this. That's like a teacher. Know this for the test. Pay attention. This will be on the test. She said something, but I didn't pay attention. What did she say? It's going to be on the test. Make note of it. Write it down. Know the answer. Know the problem. Know how to solve it. When the teacher says it's going to be on the test, pay attention. Know what they're talking about. Now it goes on in verse 45. It says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household? Over his household to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all good things and over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those of us that work or have worked, you ever been sitting there doing nothing, thinking, the boss is tied up with so-and-so, the boss left to go get something, and all of a sudden you look up and there's the boss while you're sitting there with your feet up on the desk. You never know. And that happens to me all the time. Usually I'm the one that walks in and says, what are you guys doing? I gave you a list of 27 things that need to be done, and you're in here twiddling your thumbs. Oh, yeah, boom, and people scatter. And they get to work. You may have just sat down 30 seconds ago. You may have sat down 30 minutes ago. I don't know. But the bottom line is, we should always be productive. We should always be preparing for the owner to come back, for the master to come back. Well, this talks about, there's a faithful, and there's two people in this, the faithful and wise, and the evil, the one that is beating the others and taking the food and drink. But he says, man, at the very end, he says, I will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. But then he says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Signifying what? Remorse and regret. Oh, dang, I wish I would have kept busy. The master came back. I thought he was going to be gone a little longer. I should have paid attention. Now, a lot of times, in all honesty, here's what happens. What, you couldn't warn me he was coming down the hall? I tried to, but... And we do that. Could you not have warned me this is what I'd face? A lot of times the answer was, I did. I did warn you, and you weren't listening. You weren't paying attention. Mom and Dad just pulled in. Hurry, clean up. You're supposed to clean up 2 hours ago. But you delayed that. You procrastinated. A couple mothers laughing at that. Okay. Been there, done that, I see. But it happens to us in our faith walk. If only a pastor would have warned me about this. I don't know, Eric and I stand up here week after week, and you know what? We preach biblical messages. Eric and I were talking earlier today, and I said, you know what's filling the pulpits a lot of times since the election is all this political stuff. My gosh, that is the time to bear down and get into this thing. And let this thing rule our day-to-day lives and our emotions. Our emotions are the things that we throw out there on Facebook. And let all our friends and neighbors and coworkers see. That's one reason I've never had a Facebook account. I don't want to see that. I don't want to read it. And as Eric talked about Wednesday night, I don't want to judge you on what you say and do. I don't want that. I don't want to see. I don't want to peek into that box. By the way, I don't want you peeking into mine necessarily either, but if you got a question, come ask me and talk to me. But with everything that goes on, this has always been the standard. This has always been the test. Does it line up with this? Is what you're saying and believing in here, does it line up with this? Well, sometimes we have to grow into this in our understanding, in our knowledge, in our wisdom, in our discernment, and all those things grow, but they only grow when we get into here more. The faithful and wise have one judgment. The evil has another judgment cut in two. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be regret and remorse and sorrow and great sadness. By the way, I'm talking today about therefore be ready. That's my message title. Therefore be ready. Well, great, you told me these things are going to happen, and I don't know when they're going to happen. How can I possibly be ready? Oh my goodness. Luckily, I've written down three things to help. Number one, be Christ-like. Be Christ-like. We've been talking about this. We've talked this year about more in 24 and finding and discovering and experiencing a spiritual awakening for each one of us. How do we do that? Be Christ-like. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Says in verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. If we want to be like Him when we see Him, be like Him today. Be like Him today. What are we waiting on? Pure and holy and loving and sacrificial. Living a life that's filled with hope. And joy. And peace. And love. those things we talk about at Advent. Living a life that has those in it. I have a life of hope, and I want to share that with others. I have a life that is filled with peace, and I want others to experience that same peace that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can have God's peace in the midst of turmoil. You can have joy in the midst of great loss. And you can have God's love and reflect His love in a world that hates. The first thing to do is be Christ-like. What are we waiting for? Number two, some of you aren't going to like this. Get ready to suffer. Number two, get ready to suffer. I didn't like it when I wrote it down. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And Paul is talking. They went to a town and they're returning to another couple of towns, going to the disciples. And he said, it says he was exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Paul is telling them, new converts and disciples, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Be ready to suffer. By the way, when we suffer, we can still be filled with hope. When we suffer, we can still be filled with His peace. We can still, in the midst of our suffering, be filled with His joy. And certainly, we can be filled with His love. Adam, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. You see, I can't have joy because I'm facing this. You notice what I did just then? When I'm facing this, and we've got that fist tightly clenched, and we can't and don't and won't let it go. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Put that bag of trash, I may have said something else, put that bag of trash down at the feet of Jesus, and then leave it there. Quit going back and picking it up and dragging that thing behind you. And I said, when we let it go, we still walk around. What's the matter? Oh, I'm just carrying this heavy load. Not anymore. Stand upright. God has taken that load. He has fixed your posture. You have to realize the posture He wants you to walk in. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24 for a minute. Verse 11 through 13. And it says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. We have to be spiritually and mentally alert and awake to what the devil is trying to do. To false teachings, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Again, if Pastor Eric or myself says something that isn't in here, you need to say something to us. Because this is the book we're preaching from. But others may not, and others may deceive and mislead and pull people down a wrong path. Be spiritually and mentally alert to the devil and to false teaching. Now, sometimes there's just bad teaching out there, and it's out of ignorance. But we have to know. So that helps us also, when we grow in God's Word, to know when we're listening to bad teaching. Submit to God's Word. Know God's Word. Be faithful to the work for the kingdom of God. We're to be faithful, alert, awake, and watchful. It says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. We're overcomers. As Jan said earlier, we don't have a spirit of fear. And we are overcomers. And he's given us the strength to do that through him. And the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing I'll share with you today, be faithful to work for the kingdom of God. Be faithful to work for the kingdom of God. That's the third thing. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, just past where we were. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. And it's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And it says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And pay attention to this story so you can understand what it's saying. Verse 2, now 5 of them were wise. Well, there's half the group. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came during that time. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The virgins all fell asleep. That's not a problem. They all slept. But they were to watch for the bridegroom. And watch doesn't mean that we have to stay up 24/7. How can I possibly do that? How can I know when the master's returning? How can I know when the bridegroom is coming? Watch really means to be prepared. Have your lamp. Have your oil. But respond to the announcement when it is given. Respond to the announcement when it is given. In the midst of that, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And they responded. And some were ready and some were not. Lord, it is so good to see you, but I've got to go and make some things right first. Oh, Lord, I didn't know you'd be coming today. Could you give me a week? could you give me a month? Give me a year to get my house in order. God, could you just give me a day? No. An hour. God, I'm begging you, give me an hour. But the day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Our best thing to do is be ready to respond when the announcement is made. Adam, come on. He doesn't give us extra time necessarily. Now, I said a long time ago that there's times when we think, God, why did you do this? Why did you take this person? And we don't realize. He said, I gave you an extra month with them. I gave you an extra year. I gave you five more years than I originally was going to do. You see, so you should be thanking me. But you didn't know I gave you extra time. You just told me I should have given you more. Therefore, be ready, church. Be Christ-like today. Get ready to suffer. And be faithful to work for the kingdom of God. Alert and awake and diligent to watch out for the enemy. Therefore, be ready. Because Jesus is coming soon. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this message out of your word. God, we thank you for your giving us opportunity to be ready for the test. God, you have told us this will be on the test. But we weren't paying attention. God, I pray today that we're drawn closer to your word. And we're drawn closer to you. To be Christ-like. To be ready for trials and tribulation to come our way. God, I pray that we are filled with hope and peace and joy. My God, I pray that we are filled with your love, which allows those other three to abide in us. God, I pray today that there are those here today that need to lay something at your feet, that they do that. You can do that by coming up to the front here and allowing us to pray over you. You can do that where you sit. You can do it in your car on your way home. You can do it in your home. That's the beauty of God. He says, I see you wherever you are. But he desires for us to be like his son. In our words, in our actions, in everything we do. God, we thank you for the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we praise and worship, singing about Jesus is coming soon? If you need prayer today, if you'll come up front, we have our prayer warriors, our pastors up front to pray over you for whatever you need. Thank you.
thank you for your worship today. Thank you for your praise. Thank you for gathering as your church family to unite in the spirit of oneness as we worship in the spirit of truth. I pray that we all would be prepared for that coming day when our glorious Savior returns to gather His elect, His loved ones, His children, to be with the Father for eternal glory, and to be at the wedding supper. If you're here today and are not sure about that decision, if you've made for Christ in your life today to ask Jesus into your heart, I would very much try to urge you to make it right with God by simply asking Him to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, to wash you and cleanse you and make you anew, and to surrender your life to Him and His calling upon your life. The time is short. You don't have to be a real educated person to see the events going on in our culture today. If you watch the signs. But as Pastor Jan said, we have that peace in our hearts that calms us during those turbulent times. And as Pastor Adam said, we need to be ready and not to slumber in our walk with Christ, but to be at work for Him in His kingdom, to be on the alert. And so, church, I thank you again for coming to worship today. I pray that you would have a blessed week, and I pray that you would look for opportunities where God may send you to be a light in this dark world. And to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and let that Spirit just flow through you with love, peace, and understanding of Christ in the midst of turbulent times. Father, we thank you for the time that you've gathered us here this morning to be in your presence. We thank you for the time that we have been able to worship you and lift you high. Father, we thank you that through our praise in you, we dispel that spirit of heaviness upon our lives that wants to enshroud us, that wants to just encompass us. And as we lift your name on high and be in your holiness and in your presence, we find that that dispels that spirit of heaviness. And we can once again see the joy of you that you bring into our hearts. We can once again see the peace that you give into our lives to sustain us and to calm us down from all fears that may encompass around us. Father, we ask that this joy would be made full in our lives so that it would overflow to others who come across our path. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for all of the blessings that you continually give us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.